with a closer look at the news and events affecting Prince George. Welcome to After 9 on 93.1 CFIS-FM.
Alan Wishart in the host chair on a rather, I'll just say, dull Wednesday morning. Steve on the board as usual. And we're going to get things going right off the bat. Joined by Judy Neiser with the Spirit of the North Healthcare Foundation. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Alan.
So, it's been just over a year now, and it occurred to me, Spirit of the North Healthcare Foundation relies a lot on donations from individuals and groups. How has the pandemic affected you guys just in the long picture, if you will, at this point, over the past year?
So we rely 100% on it. We are not government-funded in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, when COVID hit last March, you know, I don't think any of us knew the world that we were entering, nor did we know how long it was going to be going on for. And over the year, we re-energized, we replanned, we reimagined, we did everything that we could to make sure that the events that we historically have brought were there in some shape or form. But more importantly, we still work very closely with Northern Health to make sure that the pieces of equipment that were being funded are key to making the North very resilient and very independent, because what also changed was that our patients can't travel. And in the past, that was quite okay to go, you know, wherever within the North, even down into the Lower Mainland. And when that became really, really an issue, we made sure that a lot of the pieces of equipment that we were going at was, first of all, something that the government would not have otherwise funded, which is key. Secondly, to make sure that it was going to make us stronger and more resilient in the North and accommodate people who are here and those that, you know, were traveling here for work and different things, because that ups our numbers. So, you know, I'm proud to say that in the last year, it's been $1.1 million that we've funded in equipment, and that's totally thanks to the donors. That's, you know, 100% our donors coming in and realizing that healthcare truly does touch us all and each of us in different ways, because as much as COVID has been there, other things haven't gone away. I mean, people are still having heart attacks. There's still cancer being diagnosed, which is really awful in the world the way it is right now, because it just compounds problems. So we're there to make sure that, everybody has the best possible equipment to use.
And now I know one of your major events that you had to do a very fast turnaround on last year, really, was Spirit Day. And it's coming up again, and again, it's going to be under COVID rules, but at least this year you've had that time to basically look at last year's event and say, okay, here's what really worked well, here's maybe what we could do a little bit different. So when is Spirit Day? What's it all about?
So last year we actually ended up postponing COVID, postponing... We postponed Spirit Day thinking, you know, really silly thoughts, I guess, now that I look back, that in May it was going to be, wasn't going to be possible, but in September it would be. And everybody did that. I mean, we all pushed off our events thinking that, okay, now is not the right time, but we'll move it to the end of the year, really not knowing what the world was going to be like in March or April. And September was no different. In fact, it had really changed. So we held one last September, so even though people may think it's really close together, it still is only an annual event. But we felt that moving it again didn't make sense. And it's not an event that draws crowds of people or anything like that. It's really an 12-hour actually radio con this year, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and it's a phone-in. So what's nice about it is that, you know, you can totally give from your heart, from the privacy of your own car, your living room, your kitchen, wherever you'd like to be. We just know that the needs are out there, you know, partially to fund equipment that's needed, but really important to fund equipment so that we can attract healthcare professionals to the region too, because that's what brings new specialists, that's what brings new doctors into the area, is the fact that we have equipment that they're willing to operate on and stay, you know, here in Prince George, which is important.
Now, I know a lot of times Spirit of the North is raising funds, and it is a very specific piece of equipment that you're raising them for, but Spirit Day, I think, is a little bit different, isn't it?
Well, last year we changed it because we were really at a loss and we wanted to check the pulse of the community. We could have gone after one piece of equipment, but if it wasn't attractive to anyone, then they wouldn't have wanted to fund it. So we actually wanted to put a litmus test out there to the community and ask them what's their passion, what is near and dear to them, what means the most for them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our poster obviously has a few suggestions, but our website has unlimited ideas. And if you want it to go to second floor hemodialysis, it'll go to 100% to hemodialysis on the second floor. So what we did was we just put it out there and said, you pick your passion, you tell us what's important to you, where your health care concerns are, and we will make sure that the money goes there. And obviously it takes a little while for it to accumulate, and so, you know, it's got to be at a number where it's going to make a difference. But 100% does go there. And we had a wonderful day, and we're doing exactly the same thing this year. And to be quite honest, I think Spirit Day will always be about that. It'll be everybody's inner spirit to give and the idea that they can give to the area of choice.
And so then your other events through the year, when we get back to being able to hold them, will probably be on that older format, if you will, of specific purpose for them.
It depends. You know, we've got a very robust board, and we are very picky as to what's being funded. If it can be funded somewhere else, we definitely push that it can be. This is really to make sure that, you know, the citizens of Prince George and the entire region, the entire north, that we have equipment in the areas that services people the best possible way. So even for Spirit Day, if you're listening and you're outside of Prince George, if you want it to go to Burns Lake, it'll go to Burns Lake. If you want it to go to Smithers, it'll go to Smithers.
Okay.
If you want it to go to Haida Gwaii or Vailmont, I mean, it's whatever area, whatever healthcare facility, and whatever modality of healthcare that you choose.
And so, again, some people may not know how big an area, because you cover your Spirit of the North, you cover obviously the Northern Health District, I believe. How big is the Northern Health District?
So we service over 290,000 people in an area that's 600,000 square kilometers. So if you pictured roughly the size of the country of France,
yeah,
that's our service delivery area. And so it goes Haida Gwaii to Vailmont, south of Quesnel to the Yukon border. So it is a really large area, and that's the area that Northern Health is responsible for. That's the area that our donors are based in, and that's the area that we make sure gets the equipment that they need.
Yeah. And so now we've been talking about the fact that on Spirit Day and possibly moving forward, a lot of the donations are going to be going to where the donor wants them to go specifically. But I think a little while ago, you guys did finish a thing for dedicated funding, didn't you?
We did. So at Festival of Trees this year, even though Festival of Trees didn't happen in its usual format, we did go after a diagnostic, molecular diagnostic lab, which was really important to the region because the government would partially fund it, and they asked us if we would also work with the citizens of the region. And this lab is actually, it's not only for COVID, it tests viral illnesses, but it's specific to COVID in large volumes. So even though some testing is being able to be done here and in a couple places throughout the region, this would make us very, very independent and resilient in this type of testing. And when you think of it, I mean, COVID's not the first viral illness that has entered the arena in this area. And so I think it's long overdue. It, you know, provides some jobs and makes our lab more robust. And it's something that we won't have to be sending samples up and down the highways or through airplanes or however they're going right now. So it's very, very important. And the final funding for that is actually coming through the Harley raffle, which the Prince George firefighters are doing right now, and it's being drawn next Saturday.
Wow. Now, the molecular diagnostic lab, so I'm guessing this is going to be at UHNBC. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a new facility at the hospital, or is it converting a current facility into the new lab?
No, it's brand new. So what they're doing right now, or the last I had heard, was because we're not allowed in all sorts of areas of the hospital right now for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
It's a new space being created that will house the dedicated molecular diagnostic lab with one key piece of equipment. It's called the Panther. And then the rest of the lab has to be built around it that looks after specimen flow and that type of thing. So it'll be brand new, but within a redesign of the hospital.
And now, that is something I have heard of happening. I don't know that I've heard of happening at UHNBC before. I know when I was working in some smaller communities around the region, when they had a new piece of equipment come to their hospital, they sometimes had to do that same thing, put the new piece of equipment in and then build everything else around it.
Yeah, and this will be an addition. So to be quite honest, I mean, it's not far from the existing lab. And so they're actually giving up conference room space to put this in. I mean, there's never enough space in any facility, right? I mean, Prince George could obviously use more space, but it's important. And so, you know, they're giving up good square footage to make sure that this happens. And it'll be very important to the region.
And I'm thinking they're giving up the square footage as part of a conference room, and that, it may not have been in the original plan, but it's something they probably looked at and said, actually, we don't need big conference rooms as much as we used to, because so many of our conferences now are being done by Zoom, where people aren't even here.
Yeah, Alan, I don't know what factors played a role. I think it was just the importance of this, and you give up what you have to, and you know, just like everybody else is rethinking, they did too. And all I know is they came up with the space and that the equipment is there and they're just doing the renovation. So if it's not already up and running, it should be very, very shortly.
And so that is one thing. The molecular diagnostic lab then is something that people calling in on Spirit Day don't have to designate money towards. They can still designate it towards the area of the hospital where the lab is, but they don't have to say, I want it to go towards the lab, because the lab is basically paid for already.
It is. I don't even think it's actually an option on our website now, but, you know, diagnostics is certainly alive and well. There's a zillion areas of diagnostics that still can take place. And, you know, the whole goal of any patient would be to be diagnosed more quickly and more accurately. And so diagnostics plays a role in any lab. And, you know, there's countless pieces of equipment we still don't have to be able to do that. So definitely, I know one whole hour, it's the 6 to 7 o'clock hour, is totally relevant to diagnostics. And it's the company that's sponsoring it is Campus Cleaners, and it's a young man who's affected by diabetes himself. And diagnostics plays a big role in it. And so it's still there. I mean, it's not gone away just because there's a new lab. And it's still a key area for patients, for sure.
So now, are all of the hours, because you're saying it's a 12-hour radiothon, is every hour sort of sponsored for a specific area, even though you can donate anywhere you want, or is that just some of the hours?
It's just that their sponsorship dollars go to that particular area, that's all.
Okay.
And so when they're phoning out, they would canvas that first, but then if you choose a different area, we're totally respectful of that.
Yeah, you're not going to say, no, we're not going to take your money if you don't want to give it to us.
Yeah. No, a charity never says no to money, especially in this day and age.
Now, is there still the thing, because I know in some days in the past when there was a sponsored hour, donations up to a certain amount that were made during that hour were matched by the sponsor?
Yeah, a lot of them do commit to raise hour. And so we're partnered with the Jim Madison Broadcast Group, who will be live on location at the Prestige Treasure Cove Resort and Hotel. And they will be announcing hourly who's on the phones, who is sponsoring. And, you know, yeah, there's certainly a lot of activity going on during that 12 hours.
Now, is there, I'm just saying, if somebody happens to be out and about on May the 6th, is there a way they can just drive by the Prestige Treasure Cove Hotel and drop off a donation, or are you only doing it over the phone?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, that's why we've moved there, because we don't want the traffic coming to the hospital. So we will be very COVID safe at the hospital, at the hotel.
Yeah.
And as long as people respect that, absolutely, you know, they can drop by and we'll be on location, and we'll be able to, more than happy to take their pledges. Same with over the phone, 565-2800. They can call into all day. We're even accepting any kind of pledges, or if organizations want to do a barbecue or a bottle drive or any kind of activity at all, they're welcome to do that in over the next month, and then present it on the 6th of May as well. Ideally, if you phone first, we can set up a time that's mutually respectful for everybody.
Yeah.
But we're encouraging all individuals, businesses, to think of some way of being able to get back on the 6th of May.
So now, so it's on May the 6th, and you were saying that you've got the poster of it's probably blanketing the city by now, and it's got sort of the 7 active campaigns, but you were saying the website has, I believe the word you used was, a million other ideas.
You know what? If you can come up with it, we will find a way to use it. It actually goes to our online giving site, and there you can choose whatever your area you want, or you can choose from one of the areas that's already listed.
Okay. And what is that website?
So it's www.spiritofthenorth.ca.
Okay. Nice, straightforward, simple. Just, and don't worry about typing in Healthcare Foundation because that takes too long.
That's right.
Spiritofthenorth.ca. May the 6th, the date, if
7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
And if you want, if you're willing to be COVID safe, you can drop by Prestige Treasure Cove Hotel for a couple of minutes, maybe. Drop off your donation there. And Judy Neiser, thank you very much for bringing us up to date on what's happening with Spirit of the North, and more specifically with Spirit Day, which is, I hate to say it, but that's just under a month away now.
Yeah, just barely, but Thursday, May 6th. So, you know, we're hopeful. I think everybody is out there trying to do what they can to make sure the North is as resilient as we can. And this, you know, Spirit Day's been around for many, many years now, and it's a day that we really encourage people to be active to whatever level of contribution they can, but really make things stronger for all the patients in the North.
Great. Judy, thank you very much for taking the time this morning.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Take a break. Be back with more after 9.
Hi, I'm Matt Kaplan, Planetary Radio's host and producer. Bill Nye and the rest of us at the Planetary Society are thrilled to be on CFIS. We hope you'll join us as we travel the solar system and beyond. You'll hear the explorers, scientists, and creative minds that are taking humanity beyond our lovely homeworld as they look for life and intelligence elsewhere in the cosmos. That's Planetary Radio, Wednesday nights at 8, here on 93.1 CFIS FM.
The Prince George Chamber of Commerce is looking for members of the business community that are interested in participating in their new mentorship program. If you feel you have the tools and knowledge to help others succeed in business, contact the Chamber team by emailing admin@pgchamber.bc.ca. It's one of the many innovative ways your Chamber of Commerce continues to support and help the Prince George business community thrive. For more information on the Chamber or to become a member, visit pgchamber.bc.ca.
Join the Alzheimer's Society for the IG Wealth Management Walk for Alzheimer's. Throughout the month of May, the Alzheimer's Society will be raising awareness and funds for people affected by dementia. Take part and then join in virtually on Sunday, May 30th to celebrate the difference you've made. Full details are available at walkforalzheimers.ca. All donations made through Sunday will be matched up to $35,000. The IG Wealth Management Walk for Alzheimer's, Sunday, May 30th. Who will you walk for?
Forecast from Environment Canada. Wet flurries ending this morning, then a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers or flurries. Wind from the west at 20, gusting to 40 and a high of 4. Partly cloudy tonight with a 30% chance of flurries this evening, a low of minus 5 with a wind chill to minus 9. For Thursday, a mix of sun and cloud, wind from the southwest at 20, gusting to 40 late in the afternoon and a high of 5.
You're listening to After 9 on Prince George's Community Station, 93.1 CFIS FM.
Back, joined now by, Steve, who I introduced at the beginning of the show. He used the other hand to wave this time. And
he's ambidextrous when it comes to waving.
Yes. I'm ambisinstrous. I can fumble with either hand.
There you go.
Which, of course, is a left-handed compliment.
Or his mouth, as we've heard. Okay, so...
Okay, I'm going to turn my mic off now and leave. You guys can take it from here. No.
How about that COVID?
Ugh. I didn't even see any real numbers from today. The Citizen had a couple of stories, but I don't think any of them really had
April
the numbers.
1st, we were at 295.
Active cases.
Active cases, okay. In northern BC, northern region.
Yep.
And I thought, excellent, we're below 300 again.
And
now we're back up at 350.
Yep. We should never have allowed the Canucks to come up here.
Yeah, right.
Okay, maybe not.
It's interesting with the Canucks' problems with COVID. A friend of mine said, they could... shouldn't affect their trading at all because by the time they get through quarantine... They'll be through, right?
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking, well, if you're an NHL general manager and you're looking at a Vancouver Canuck and he's has COVID, not just the protocols, but has COVID.
Yeah.
well, we don't know the long-lasting effects of that. We don't even know if he's going to get through it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the chances are he will.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'd want to be gambling on that if I was an NHL GM. Of course, they could always do the whole future considerations as, you know, if he doesn't make it through and
yeah.
And end up playing.
If he only plays like five more games this year for you after
or
the
whatever,
trade.
Or yeah. whatever, yeah. Exactly. So you can always save yourself that way.
And I'm trying to remember, Steve and I were talking about this before the show. I'm trying to remember, I thought I heard yesterday the NHL has now said point percentage will be the determining factor because they basically accepted that not every team is going to be able to finish the full 56 games.
Really?
Had you heard anything about that?
I had not, okay. But I haven't checked any of those news
no.
or any of those sites
That's
yet.
That's a new one.
Okay.
Well, it would be on NHL.com if
you
that
think,
is.
Yeah.
Like that would be where they would have it.
And it's getting to the point where I think it would make sense for them to make that announcement now rather than wait for the end of the season when one team or another may feel they're hard done by because of the rule.
Well,
make the announcement
it's a pretty
now.
Pretty standard thing, though.
Yeah.
If you don't play the same number of games, you go with a save win percentage yeah. or point percentage.
Point percentage
I guess,
now, yeah.
As they use because they got those extra points everywhere.
I mean, no big surprise. That's what the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League is doing. They have to.
Yeah.
Because they got such a difference. And I have got to find for our post-to-post show tomorrow evening, I'm hoping I can track down what their playoff format is going to be. Because I think I was mentioning last week, they're showing on their website, the QMJHL website, all 18 teams are making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Today I was looking at it, and they were showing two teams had won their divisions. So I checked, one team has a winning percentage that's like about 200 points above anybody else in the division.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. The other team that was being shown as winning the division was only about 20 percentage points in front of the next team.
Oh.
And then the third division, the Maritime division, there's a team that's 200 percentage points in front of the second place team, and they're not shown as winning the division yet. So I'm not sure what's going on. And I want to find out what's going on with their playoffs, because I was looking at their schedule, and they are showing games until tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and then on the full schedule on their website, which is, you know, 462 pages long, there's a gap with like three blank entries, and then there's a whole bunch of games just with the Maritime teams
yeah.
until about the beginning of May, and then there's another three or four lines left blank, and then there's a bunch of games all listed as being June 24th. I'm suspecting the June 24th games are the ones that they're saying they're gone.
Yeah,
those
yeah.
are the ones we're not going to play. So the other divisions, basically the Quebec teams, it looks like they are going to be wrapping up tomorrow. The
right.
Maritime teams, because they're trailing and there's fewer of them, so they don't need as many for the playoffs. They're going for a few more weeks to get a few more games in before they start their playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But I will try to track down what exactly they are doing over there.
Well, what's going on in the WHL is the Cougars still only one victory so far this year.
No.
Now, that being said, they lost in a shootout on Sunday, and then last night a shootout to Vancouver 1-0, so
yes.
pretty good goaltending game, I would say.
Yeah.
That was the Sunday final. Last night it was a overtime loss to Victoria 3-2.
So they've got 4 points out of three games then, sounds right? Because they won their other game, didn't they?
No, they have one win.
Yeah, one win.
And two overtime or extra time losses, however they want to
Yeah, but
call
so that would be 2, 3, 4 points from three games.
Yeah,
yeah,
but they've played six.
Oh, okay. Oh, they've already played six. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they've lost to Kamloops three times, I think.
Okay.
One,
Weird.
Two.
Yeah.
So lost, sorry, five games because
okay.
there was the Kelowna game that was postponed.
So they're 1-2-2.
They're, 1-2-2.
Okay.
Exactly.
So
there you go. So that's not too bad, I guess.
No.
A couple of losses to Kamloops. Kamloops looks like they're going to be the dominant power in that
BC division.
That bubble. Yep. All right.
And I think the other thing I remember reading from the Citizen story on the game they lost 1-0 was it wasn't Taylor Gauthier in goal, it was the other one, Tyler Brennan, is that his name?
Right,
yeah.
Brennan, yeah.
43 saves, gets credit for the shutout because it went to a shootout.
Yeah.
and gets credit for a shutout and a loss.
I know. Yeah, well.
That's... They got outshot like 43-14 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. He's leaving fairly soon.
Yeah, he's off to...
The U18s down in, I think it's San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
Which is where they just finished holding the NCAA Women's Basketball Championships.
Ah, okay.
What about the Blue Jays game yesterday?
In
Texas.
Big win in Texas to...
A big loss, but they had 40,000 fans.
Yeah, 38-something.
Yeah, that was the opening day.
Yeah.
And I guess today, I think there's supposed to be a game today, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But today, my understanding was the team owner had said, opening day, we want the place packed. After that, we will go back to COVID-friendly in terms of separated seating and stuff. Yeah. Just for opening day, they wanted the big crowd.
Yeah, because, you know, doing it once, it's not going to hurt you, right?
No, not at all.
Not with 40,000 people.
No.
No, there's no problem there at all.
And on that note, I think we're going to go to a break. We'll be back with more on After Nine.
The Prince George Council of Seniors is excited to introduce Eric Miners, their new community connector. The responsibility of this new and evolving position is to connect seniors with services needed but not currently offered at the Seniors Resource Center. The community connector can look for the agencies that will best serve your specific needs, provide necessary contact information, or assist with setting up appointments. To contact the community connector, call 250-552-1763 Monday through Wednesday.
Hope for Women is looking to hire a unique, outgoing, and knowledgeable individual to educate BC middle and secondary students through its Sexual Health and Intimacy for Teens program. SHIFT is a series of sex-positive, pro-abstinence presentations based on the BC learning outcomes.
This full-time position is expected to start this month.
For full details, email shift@hopeforwomen.ca. That's Hope for Women Pregnancy Services, looking for a SHIFT coordinator to start in April. Application deadline is April 15th.
The 7th annual UNBC Timberwolves Legacy Breakfast is a go. Stanley Cup winning coach John Cooper will headline this year's virtual morning event. The Legacy Breakfast serves as a major fundraiser for UNBC Athletics, with every dollar raised going towards scholarships and bursaries. Tickets are $60 each or $800 for a green and gold corporate package. For tickets, visit unbc.ca/legacy-breakfast. The 7th annual UNBC Timberwolves Legacy Breakfast, 7:30 a.m. Wednesday, May the 5th.
The Prince George Symphony Orchestra is pleased to announce the final four concerts of their 50th anniversary season. The spring series consists of three Sunday evening presentations and a special Sunday afternoon family performance of Sergei Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf. All concerts will be streamed, with tickets available at pgso.com, by phone at 250-562-0800, or at their Studio 2880 office. Don't miss the first presentation in the series, The Arrival of Spring, 7:30 on Sunday.
Keeping you up to date on current news and events in and around Prince George. This is After 9 on 93.1 CFIS FM.
And I had seen Massage Place open. Now.
Anyway, final was Texas 7, Toronto 4.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Massage Place is open, yes.
Yes, and I saw that, and I was thinking, yeah, you know, maybe I'll, after I'm finished here, maybe I'll go over there and walk. I mean, I took a look outside, and I thought, maybe I'll leave it for a day.
Yeah, it's a little drizzly.
Opening day isn't that big a deal.
No.
Really. But it is open for walking from 7 until 8 for April, and then from 6 until 8 starting in May for the rest of the year. Unless somebody else has
there's
booked.
A group that's booked.
Yeah, and you can check that on the Prince George website.
Yeah. The one that is booked right now is Prince George Track and Field Club.
Oh, okay.
Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Saturdays from 10 until 2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. And the other thing to remember, you can only park in the parking lot off of Massey Drive.
Oh, okay.
So that's the one by that little seniors fitness thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, because again, they're trying to control the points of entry because of COVID.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can't park off of Massey.
Lot.
No, yeah.
Well, you can't park off Griffith.
Griffith, that's right. You can't park off of Massey. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Massey Drive one.
And something else, I quickly did a check on them and I saw Massage Place was open because I thought, well, gee, I mean, I've been walking a fair bit this winter over at CN Center. So I checked. It looks like the last walking there in the concourse will be Friday.
Oh, okay.
They've got it listed until Friday, and then it says load more. You click on load more, and there ain't no more.
But I haven't seen any message from City Hall on that yet.
No. But it makes sense if Massage Place is open, you don't need really both of them to some extent.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's nice to be able to walk inside. A lot of people think that. But the other thing is Massage Place is more open as well because it's outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better.
But for the
COVID-wise,
it's nice to be inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've walked at Massage Place even last summer. I was walking there a bit. And
older than you.
I think I recognize some of the people who had been walking at CN Center as walking at Massage Place.
It can get pretty breezy in there sometimes, though, through there.
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, like on a day like today where it could start raining at any point, I don't know that we want to be out there.
And that's one of the complaints when the design was put forward was that they got rid of the berm that sort of helped
protected
cut down
from
that
wind.
So, definitely, especially a south wind, could really be rough, I guess.
Yeah, and by getting fingers crossed, they may not have any fans, but in September, you may have the UNBC Timberwolves actually being able to use the soccer field there for their games.
Yeah.
If they start up again.
Fingers crossed they'll have fans because everyone has said... with the vaccine and everything getting out there, that everything should be okay by September.
Yeah,
so
it'll still be your choice. Like they're not going to.
Oh, for
They're not going to drag you at gunpoint to watch the soccer game or anything like that. They don't think they can.
No,
I think it's against the law. And pharmacies in Prince George by the end of the week are supposed to have the AstraZeneca vaccine available.
Oh,
for 55 to 65 year old people.
A run to get that one after all the odd news reports. You shouldn't take it if you're over blah, 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 or you shouldn't take it if you're this. And
well, I think what they basically decided now is the risk is for younger people.
Yeah.
I think they're doing
it
for 55
to
65 because the 65 end, they're getting fairly close to that coming down the other way with the vaccinations at the Civic Center. That's not that far away. I think they're into the 71-year-old bracket at this point, so 65 isn't that far away on that. And people under 55, they will have their chance, obviously, as things go along. And, so I think that's one of the reasons why they're doing it that way with the AstraZeneca at the pharmacies.
Yeah.
But there'll be more details on that coming because I guess Health Minister Adrian Dix made that announcement yesterday, I think.
I just don't understand why we're so far behind on essential workers.
Yeah. Well, one of the things was, as I understand it, I think this was something that came out of the Dix press conference yesterday, was they had figured they'd use the AstraZeneca for the essential workers. It turned out that people under 55 are at a bit more of a risk, while most of your essential workers are
under
55.
Yeah.
So I guess they're now waiting for the next. Yeah, they're now waiting for the next shipment of one of the other vaccines.
Yeah.
And then they're going to really sort of fast track then the essential workers.
J&J is supposed to be ready by the end of the month.
I think that's the one they were talking about. They're going to be getting that one in, hopefully, fairly quick.
Yeah, the Johnson & Johnson's had pretty good.
Yes.
Press so far, indicating that it's a little easier to administer. You don't have to worry about the temperature quite as bad.
And we all know the name.
Yeah.
Well, that's not necessarily a good thing. We all know McDonald's, too, but you're not going there necessarily for healthy food.
No.
Yeah.
You're going there because you know what you're going to get.
Usually.
It's the big, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you get bad fries. You know why you get bad fries? Because someone didn't follow the system. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Yeah.
McDonald's is built on a system. You do this, you do this, you do this, you get this.
Yeah.
And if someone sidetracks from that system, you get bad fries or a burger that has too much ketchup or something, right? It's all laid out nice and neat for them.
Yeah. It's almost, to some extent, like the old saying, a computer cannot make a mistake. Any mistake that was made that came from a computer was made by a human at some point.
Yeah, computer glitches aren't because of the computer. It's because of the programmer.
Yes.
He forgot to do this or that, and therefore you get a glitch every once in a while where it just doesn't work properly.
Yeah, which is why I get hired at radio stations. And so, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that while Reg was sitting right here. He doesn't like to be reminded of that.
Yeah, that's human error big time.
Yeah. And on that note, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back with some more on After 9 in a moment.
The Vancouver Cantata Singers are inviting you to share your personal story of this unprecedented time with a short video or through written text accompanied by a photo. What changed for you? What's the same? What have you struggled with? Were there silver linings? Collected stories or story themes will be paired with performances of choral music on video and eventually a live concert. Full details are available at vcsmovingstories.com.
The Everybody Moves Resource Hub is now online. Created by the BC Alliance for Healthy Living and the Physical Activity Health Collaborative, the Hub is a one-stop shop for sport and recreational leaders who want to ensure physical activity is as inclusive and accessible as possible. BC clearly needs solutions to get us all active, and the Everybody Moves Resource Hub is part of the answer. Find it at everybodymoveshub.ca.
In any volunteer organization, each role integrates into each level, function, and activity of the organization. The Vantage Point can help you lay out the optimal volunteer setup for your organization with a special chart. All the people work together because they are passionate about the cause and clear about their role. Each volunteer is part of the team while being clearly accountable to one other person. To download this organizational chart, go to thevantagepoint.ca.
Forecast from Environment Canada. Wet flurries ending this morning, then a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers or flurries. Wind from the west at 20, gusting to 40 and a high of 4. Partly cloudy tonight with a 30% chance of flurries this evening, a low of minus 5 with a wind chill to minus 9. For Thursday, a mix of sun and cloud, wind from the southwest at 20, gusting to 40 late in the afternoon and a high of 5.
It's After 9 on Prince George's Community Station, 93.1 CFIS FM.
Well, something else that I have not driven up there. I very seldom get out to the Kelly Road area now. I used to every once in a while.
Okay.
But I'm thinking I might just take a run out there and just see, although apparently it's a very slow process with the demolition of the old Kelly Road secondary. They're not just bringing in the wrecking ball and boom, that's it.
Well, have you been there to see the new school, though?
I don't believe I have, no.
So there's that.
Yeah.
You know, go out, have a look at the new
new
structure. Ooh and ah.
Yeah. And it sounds...
Have you been there?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
It sounds as if what they're doing with the old Kelly Road is obviously any usable equipment that was still in the school went back to the school district for use in other schools if they needed it. All the hazardous materials that may have been in there, and I can't remember for sure how old that building is. I don't think there would have been very much, if any, asbestos in it, but there's probably some other hazardous materials.
Right.
That's all been removed. Anything they can recycle, like any of the metals and everything, they will. And then they'll take it down.
Yeah. Well, and that's what slows down the process.
Yes.
Which I kind of like. Yep. As opposed to the old way where you just come in and you bulldoze it and then you haul it off to the dump, right?
Yes.
Take it apart and reuse what you can and then scrap the rest.
Yeah. And then I guess the site itself is actually going to become another parking lot for the new Shasti Kelly Road secondary.
Yeah.
As well as another playing field for the school and obviously the public.
Oh, so, yeah. Although that school is so far up the heart.
I know.
You know, there's a few people in the neighborhood that would use it, but, you know, even closer to the bowl, there's other school fields easier to access, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I had almost forgotten about this. I was out for a walk on the weekend and ended up walking over by Lac des Bois, and of course, sort of kitty cornered it to some extent, is Aim High. It's the old, I can't remember now what school that used to be. Hart Highlands?
Lakewood.
No, Lakewood. Lakewood Elementary.
Yeah.
I had forgotten entirely that there was another playing field in that corner.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I was kind of, I was walking by there, and I saw a fellow out with his dog, actually.
Yeah.
And I was going, that's a nice big field. I wonder what I'm looking at. I can just see Lac des Bois way off in the distance that way, and I can see Aim High over here, and I'm going, okay, I'm guessing it was sort of like a shared field when both of those schools were there.
Right.
But, no.
Yeah, that area had plenty of fields for playing on,
because
both schools right there, so you had two or three different ones.
Yeah, and then the tennis courts right beside Lac des Bois as well,
mm-hmm.
which are not getting a lot of use, as so many places aren't.
I've never seen anybody there.
No?
I used to. I have not for a while. Again, I do not get by there as often as I used to. When I lived on 15th, if I was going to, say, Spruce Land or even right downtown, sometimes I would drive along Ospica or along Ospica coming back, and then I would pass by, and sometimes you would see. I remember some years ago, you could go by there a lot of weekends during the summer, and all three of the courts were in use. I think the biggest problem a lot of times was the nets were usually in horrible shape. And it either, A, makes it very frustrating, or B, very easy. When the net is hanging down to about 6 inches off the ground, it makes it very easy to return somebody's serve in a tennis game. You don't have to hit the ball all that well.
No.
So
it worked into your game quite nicely.
Yes. Yes.
So what else have you got on your stack of things there?
Oh, boy. Just a reminder, well, this was something I had not known this. Steve and I found this out last week when I did an interview with Mark Tebow.
Right.
The artist whose work is on at the Rusted Galleria right now.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned he had actually been in Prince George, but it had been the beginning of March,
mm-hmm.
for Cold Snap. He came as Mark Perry's guitar player.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, and of course, I'd done the interview over the phone with Mark Perry for Cold Snap, and he mentioned he was bringing a guitar player with him, but I guess he figured he's a guitar player. It's almost like a drummer. You don't worry about mentioning
the
names.
Well, you don't need to mention
that. No, but I just found it kind of interesting that it turned out that this other fellow who I interviewed was the guitar player who had come. Because I think he mentioned when he came for that, I think he said he actually went by Two Rivers Gallery and got a look at the space,
mm-hmm.
so he could get an idea. Like, I think it was Megan Hunter-Gauthier, the assistant curator, was the one who actually put the works up. But he at least had an idea of what the space looked like.
Yeah.
So he could talk to her and have an idea of what she was talking about with space and stuff. So that was kind of neat. That's on until May the 2nd, by the way. The show is called Succession, and mm-hmm. it's actually three different series of works. Most of them are from Populated, which is a series that I think is more recent because it's a lot to do with isolation and stuff like that because of COVID.
Right.
But then he's got a couple of works each from series is called Elements and Cycles. And as I say, that's on until May the 2nd. I believe the works that were in the main galleries, I think those shows are over now.
Well, there were a couple of exhibits that finished on Saturday.
Okay. The ones on climate change, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So that will probably be up again probably by about the end of April. So I might have to... I'll maybe get in touch with Sarah or Megan over there and just see what they've got
maybe
coming in.
Maybe have them come in and update
have them come
us,
in
yeah.
or talk to the artist if it's somebody who we can chat
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Because with the ones that just wrapped up on the climate change, I talked to Lena Novikova.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the artist who had the individual show up from when she spent 45 days in Greenland?
It was the coast,
yes.
coast of Greenland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and so it was I got over there the one day to take a look at them, and it's extraordinary paintings, extraordinary works.
Mm-hmm.
But just listening to her talk about, like, you know, fitting in, if you will, to the community, going in knowing nothing about the language, knowing nothing about the community or anything.
Yeah.
But walked in totally 100% accepted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they accepted her right off the bat, probably because, you know, it's somebody who isn't one of us. Yes.
Finally, someone else to
how
talk
often
to.
Do you fly into Greenland, yeah?
Yeah.
No, exactly.
And how often do you fly into Greenland and then go, okay, somebody was a real good publicity guy whoever named this place Greenland. And apparently that's what it was, actually, was when the Vikings first moved there. They called it, you know, their equivalent of Greenland to try to get people to go to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think they had earlier tried Iceland. They found out not too many people were going to Iceland. It just didn't work.
Was it Eric the Red or Peanut the Green?
I'm not sure.
One of those Vikings.
Yes.
One of those M&Ms.
We'll see if we can look that one up while we go to our next break. And we'll be back to wrap things up on After Nine.
On Thursday, some of Canada's top employers and community support groups are coming together for the Spectrum Works Job Fair. This national virtual event will help people with autism find meaningful work. According to the Canadian Survey on Disability 2017, 77% of Canadian autistic adults are unemployed. Since then, more than 1,500 have participated in this job fair. Registration and full details are available at spectrumworks.ca. The Spectrum Works Job Fair, Thursday, virtually across Canada.
The Scotiabank Vancouver Half Marathon and 5K Virtual Race is on from June 2nd through July 5th this year. Known for its scenic oceanside routes, choose the charity you'll support as you walk or run 5K, 10K, or half marathon. There's also a 1K kids race. Full details are available through the Walk or Run in the Scotiabank Charity Challenge link under Make a Difference at bcss.org. The Scotiabank Vancouver Half Marathon, part of the Scotiabank Charity Challenge, June 2nd through July 5th in Vancouver.
Those eligible can now book for Phase 2 of the COVID-19 vaccinations. Seniors over 80, Indigenous peoples over 65, hospital staff, community general practitioners, and staff in community home support and nursing for seniors all qualify. Appointments can be made between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. 7 days a week by calling toll-free 1-844-255-7555. Full details and step-by-step instructions are available online at gov.bc.ca/bcseniorsfirst.
Most not-for-profit organizations generate revenue from a variety of sources. The optimal mix depends on your current programming, your strategic priorities, and the skills, expertise, and capacity of your revenue development team. When considering your ideal revenue mix, an important consideration is the time and resources required to generate $1 in revenue. To help, The Vantage Point has a downloadable worksheet. Find your revenue mix worksheet and other downloadable tools under the resources link at thevantagepoint.ca.
Featuring the people who make things happen in Prince George, you're listening to After 9 on 93.1 CFIS FM.
And just before we go any further, I want to throw in a quick note. If you're 55 and over and you've got a fairly simple tax return for next year, the Community Volunteer Income Tax Program is up and running again. It's Tuesday afternoons, Thursday mornings until the end of April, and it's by appointment only for obvious reasons. And you call the Council of Seniors, 250-564-5888, to book your appointment. They are holding it at ECRA, which is on 10th Avenue. So you make your appointment, and then you head over to ECRA. And they do not keep the records from year to year, remember. So anything that you need for this year's return, you have to bring with you, and you have to let them know if there's any changes.
Yeah, if you're carrying something over from the previous year, you need to let them know that as well.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering how many people right about now are getting a bit of a surprise when they're sitting down to do their tax return, and they're suddenly going, oh, you mean all that stuff I got from the governments over the last year wasn't taxed to start with?
Yeah.
Oh, and now they want me to pay taxes on it? Oh!
Yeah, well, that was, I think that was being mentioned constantly.
Oh, yeah, the governments did a great job of saying this.
And even on the website, it indicates that, you know, so.
Yeah.
I don't think there'll be too many people surprised. I think they will be surprised perhaps at how much that adds up to.
Oof, yes.
And I'm kind of dreading looking at my numbers, but I got to get on that pretty soon here.
Well, come on. When you're making the millions that you are, this extra money won't make any difference.
I filed over a month ago.
You know, with the amount I have to put up with around here, you'd think I'd be making millions.
Unfortunately,
with the people I have to put up with around here,
you don't get paid for the aggravation, Reg.
No, or I'd be retired a long time ago.
A long time ago,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, okay, if you're retired, then you wouldn't be getting any aggravation, so then you wouldn't be making any money. Okay.
No, but yeah. The money that I got.
Oh, okay, so you'd have saved it all.
It's not how much you make, it's how much you put aside.
Ah, okay.
That determines when you
what
retire.
What do you make of it?
Yes.
That's right. It's what you do with what you make.
Okay.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, people always say, oh, so when are you retiring? And they say, oh, well, I'll turn 65 on whatever.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years or whatever. Well, really, it's more of a money thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you're retiring, oh, when I get about 100 times what I've got in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah. I can retire next month if I want to. As long as I die within a couple of days, I can retire next month.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not a good thing to think about.
No.
No. What else was I going to say? So, Canucks are off until April the 12th.
Yep.
Cougars played last night. I believe they might even be playing tonight. I think I heard somewhere of it. They were playing tonight. It may be one of the... maybe a makeup game of some sort. I want to say, who did they play last night? Victoria?
Yeah.
Okay.
3-2 loss.
Yes, in OT. So they got a point out of it at least. And they were down 2-0 in that game. So not a bad point to get out of a game when you're down 2-0.
The Cougars do not play tonight.
Okay. Are the Spruce Kings playing tonight, if you've got the chance to look it up?
You should have told
I'm
me
sorry.
We were
yes.
talking about all this before I sat down, now I'm scrambling to try and find all that.
Toronto plays tonight.
Blue Jays and
no,
the Maple Leafs?
No,
Leafs. Oh, okay. The other team.
Well, don't the Blue Jays play as well?
And the Blue Jays
good
play.
Chance, yes, in
well,
Texas.
There you go.
Yeah.
In wide open Texas.
Yeah.
Next game for the Cougars won't be until Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Cougars or Spruce Kings?
The Cougars.
Okay.
They are yeah. playing Vancouver.
Ah, okay.
On Saturday.
So
that's their
be
next
in
game.
Loops, no problem.
Yeah. And they have another game scheduled on Saturday against Kelowna, but that's been postponed.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing is the Canucks having these games postponed right now works out badly because of the timing. Like Dallas had, what, their first four or five games postponed, but they had the entire season to make them up.
Yeah.
The Canucks are having four or five games postponed, and they've only got a month, maybe?
Well, it worked out to 19 games in 26 days.
Ouch. That doesn't work too well, I think, by the players' agreement.
So the
based
Spruce
on the schedule.
Yeah.
The Spruce Kings are in Chilliwack.
Thank you, old voice of
tonight,
wisdom.
Tonight they will be playing Merritt.
Okay.
And Merritt is the home team.
That's assuming Merritt's bus doesn't break down like it did the other
night.
Yeah,
I...
That was ridiculous. 5 o'clock starting, it's on at 8 o'clock, and I'm going, okay, wait a minute. And then I find out that the Merritt bus broke down, and that's when I started asking around and found out only four of the 16 teams that are playing in the BCHL this year are actually isolating.
Well, yeah, well, they made the Sunday game, so.
Yes. Yeah. So with any luck, they've got their bus. And again, I was thinking it's the same thing that's happened so often with people probably. Oh, we won't have any trouble getting the bus down to Chilliwack, forgetting that you probably haven't run the bus for, what, about 8 months.
Yeah. Did you ever get one of those free postcards from Canada Post?
I believe I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you send it off to someone or no?
Well, no, because most of the people I talk to are in Prince George. So.
Well, I know, but that was sort of the point.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
It's free, so you can send it to whoever you want.
Just
could be someone, could be the person next door if you wanted. The idea was to generate a little bit of goodwill and remind people that you can reach out to people via the mail.
Me and goodwill? You expected that to be a thing, Reg?
Anyway, I haven't seen one either.
How about you together?
How about yourself, Steve? Did you?
We did. I sent it off.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just mailed it out. Looked up from the phone book.
Yep.
Back east, and got a name and an address and a postal code and sent it off.
Wow. Okay.
So from BC to, what was it? New Brunswick.
Why didn't you send it to England? Don't you have people in England?
Well, they want too much postage.
Oh, okay. But
yeah, it's postal.
It's only free within Canada.
Yeah, it would cover the whole postcard, right?
Yeah.
And then the message sort of gets obscured, so.
Yeah. What was the message? Was
Yo!
Do you remember what the postcard said or anything? Or
basically what you said in general, goodwill, right?
Yeah.
Basically what it was all about.
And what about you? You just threw yours out, right?
So the government was goodwill hunting?
Oh, my goodness.
Aren't they always?
Sorry. That was not good. That was not good.
So, Alan, do you remember your postcard at all, or did you throw it out? What did you do?
I think I just saw it, and I think I had only heard, like, one thing saying that they were doing this, so I must have gotten mine early. I don't know if they maybe sent them out by first names, which is why I got mine early.
I don't know.
No.
I never got one, so.
Okay. But, so that'll just about do it. What have you got tomorrow? You're hosting After Nine?
Yeah, well, we have Front Burner from CBC News, and they'll be talking about the fiasco of the pandemic in Ontario and the lack of what they need for vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't figured out the rest of my guests, but it might be various individuals from our building here that I'll be bringing in. So we'll see if they're up for that.
Okay. And that'll be tomorrow After Nine.
After Nine is a daily presentation of CFIS-FM. After Nine is produced by Alan Wishart, Reg Fair, and Nathan Gita, with guest producer Neil Godbout of the Prince George Citizen. Additional contributors include CBC News and the National Campus and Community Radio Association. For a rebroadcast of today's program, check out the podcast link at cfisfm.ca. To provide feedback or suggestions for the show, please email cfisfm@yahoo.ca.
You're listening to CFIS-FM Prince George, a not-for-profit community radio station broadcasting with 500 watts of power at 93.1 on the FM dial. CFIS-FM is owned and operated by the Prince George Community Radio Society.